Let's turn our Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a very familiar passage. Most of you have heard this story from the time you were just a little child. 1 Samuel chapter 17 talks about the account of David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, 1 says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and your servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's pray. Father, we've heard this story so many times as we've grown up. Father, help us to see new truths this morning that you reveal to us from your word, because every time we open your word, there is something new that you have for us to learn. We know your word contains all the truth we need. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to open it up this morning. Father, help us to confront the fears that we have at times. Help us to trust in you. We thank you for what you will teach us. I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and speech. Father, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through this time. If there's someone here this morning that does not know you as Savior, I pray that you would work in their heart, that they would receive you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the setting. The Philistines were a thorn in Israel's side. And once again, they come to fight with Israel. They set up a camp in Judah within the borders of Israel. So Saul gathers his army together, and he goes and camps opposite the Philistines. So we have the Philistines on one side of the Valley of Elah. We have Israel on the other side. For 40 days, it says, this Philistine came down, their greatest warrior, Goliath, came down, and he taunted Israel. And he'd send out a challenge to the Israelites to a man-to-man fight. You say, historians tell us that oftentimes in these little battles, rather than everybody fighting, they would send out one of their greatest warriors, and each army would send out a warrior to fight each other. And whoever won that battle warrior to warrior would decide the victory for those armies. So Goliath would come down, he'd taunt Israel and say, who are you going to send out? He did this for 40 days. But the question I ask this morning is, where was Saul, that great leader of Israel? Look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. And what? Greatly afraid. They were cowering in their tents. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how that fear had affected Samuel's perspective in anointing David king. But here we see that fear crippled Saul and all of his army. They were cowering in their tents. They didn't want anything to do with it. This guy was huge. We won't get into all the dimensions of everything, but He was a tall guy. He was a big guy. None of us would want to go up against him. They were afraid. I want to look this morning, first of all, at Saul's fear. Why was Saul fearful at this point? Well, I believe that we find that answer back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Why was he not demonstrating courage as a leader? Look at 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. It says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And this is where I believe it tells why Saul was fearful. "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." See, the first thing we notice about Saul's fear is Saul feared because of his disobedience. You remember as a child when you did something wrong and your parents hadn't found out about it yet? What was that like? It's like walking around very anxious. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always wanting to walk around the corner carefully in case you ran into them. Why? You didn't want to be confronted with that. And you're always trying to avoid them in order to face the consequences of your wrongdoing. You see, Saul had reason to fear. He had disobeyed God. Therefore, now he was at odds with God. He was not right with God. And God was not on his side. Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me." He says Saul couldn't say that. He couldn't say the Lord is on my side. Proverbs 29, 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Saul didn't feel safe. He was fearful. They were afraid. Some other verses about the fear of the Lord. Psalm 27, 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." We don't have to fear when we're on the Lord's side, when the Lord's on our side. But Saul couldn't say that. See, Saul's disobedience and rebellion against God brought fear instead of confidence. But the second thing we see about Saul's fear is he feared because he was relying on himself. We already seen that Saul, rather than waiting on God's counsel for his direction, would often make hasty decisions on his own. 1 Samuel chapter 14, just two chapters back, 1 Samuel 14, verses 18 and 19. It says, "And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand." It's like, never mind. So he calls the priest up to see counsel of the Lord, and finally he hears all this noise. Just never mind. I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I got other things to do. We see in that same chapter, verse 37, Saul asked counsel of God. "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him not that day. Saul didn't wait to hear God's counsel, to wait to hear God's advice, what he wanted him to do. Proverbs 11, verse 28, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." Proverbs 28, 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And then Jeremiah 17, 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." See, Saul was trusting in himself. He was relying on his own ability to win battles, to be a king he needed to be, and it wasn't working well. Saul had rejected God. He was relying on himself, and so when trouble came, he had no confidence in things around him. A man can store up wealth, he can have a large estate, he can have fame, he can have all the things this world has to offer. But you get one person that threatens all that, and what happens? He's afraid. He lives in fear. Have you ever seen somebody who is really wealthy They're making sure all their locks on their door work properly. They're making sure they've got the highest quality alarm system in their house. They're making sure they've got every security they can think of. Why? They're living in fear that somebody's going to take their stuff. Why? Because their confidence is in that and not in the Lord. Saul relied on himself. And we can see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 39. Saul even offered David his armor. Saul says, there, this will help. Here, take my armor. It'll help. He says in verse 39, David girded his sword upon his armor and he said, essayed to go, for he had not proved it. Saul, in verse 38, Saul tries to say, David, take my armor. At least you'll be protected. He couldn't rely on his armor either. I mean, ask Ahab about that. When Ahab goes out to battle thinking he can disguise himself in battle, and what happens? It says, a warrior took his bow at a venture. It's like he just took his bow and shot an arrow into the sky. And what did God do? Found the break in his armor. Armor wasn't going to save Saul. It wasn't going to save David. Couldn't rely on himself. See, Saul had rejected the most important part of the battle. He had rejected, he had forgot to trust in the Lord. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 25, it says that Saul even promised a reward to the man who was willing to kill this giant. It says in verse 25, the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. No more taxes. Great. Look at what you get, David. Look at what is given to the man who defeats this giant. Thinking that that's the reason we should do it. Saul relied on himself, and so he was fearful. The third thing we see here is Saul was fearful because he was ill-prepared. He was not prepared for this. It didn't seem that Saul had any kind of a battle plan. They were all sitting in their camp, wondering what to do. As leader of his people, he should have had some thought as to how they were going to defeat their enemy, but we find Saul mostly passive about the situation. He offers a reward. He tries to keep David from fighting Goliath. He tries to give David his armor. But what about going to fight the giant himself? Was Paul a small man? No, the Bible tells us back in 1 Samuel 10, 23 that he was head and shoulders above everybody else. Another interesting note, look at Judges chapter 20. Something interesting I found while I was studying this. Judges chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. It says, and the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this, there were 700 chosen men, those men of Gibeah, were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Now, I've shot bow and arrow, and at 30 yards, I can be pretty close, but I'm not that good, okay? But that's not what I want to point out here. Did you notice who they're talking about? Tribe of Benjamin. Where was Saul from? Tribe of Benjamin. Where were these 700 chosen men from? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26. 1 Samuel 10, verse 26. These chosen men were from Gibeah. Verse 26 of 1 Samuel 10, and Saul also went home to Gibeah. Saul was from Gibeah. Now, we don't know if Saul was left-handed. We don't know if he was good with a sling. But really, there's no doubt that he knew how to fight. It tells us in that passage that the tribe of Benjamin knew how to fight. Saul knew how to fight. And he was among his people were among those who were known for being able to take a sling and shoot a stone and hit it at a hair's breadth. Saul knew how to fight, but evidently Saul didn't come prepared to fight. He was more than willing to let somebody else fight the giant. Notice who God uses to defeat Goliath and deliver Israel from this enemy. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. Now David. God chose David. Why? Because Saul was fearful. He was fearful because of his disobedience. He was fearful because he was relying on himself, and he was fearful because he was ill-prepared. The scene goes back to Bethlehem, where David had returned to tend to his father's sheep. You see, a little while before this, David had been in King Saul's court, and David had been used to calm Saul's spirit with his harp. The Lord had used that. But now he goes back to his father. He's tending his father's sheep. But we see in 1 Samuel 17, verse 17, that Jesse comes to David and says, "Jesse, David, I need you to go do something for me." 1 Samuel 17, 17, Jesse said unto David, his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So David was to take food to his brothers, he was to take a gift to Saul, and he was to bring back a report of their situation, a report of their well-being to their father. When it says take their pledge, he said find out how they're doing. Find out the situation, find out how the battle's going. And so David goes, and there's no doubt that the news of the challenge this giant was making had reached the camp, reached other people. I mean, 40 days. I mean, yeah, I realize it wasn't, they didn't have internet, they didn't have email, they didn't have texting, but 40 days was long enough for somebody to get back and tell others what's going on. And there was probably some anxiety and waiting and finding out who's going to go, who's going to step up, who's going to go forward and meet this giant. And is it going to be my son? Is it going to be my husband? Who's it going to be? Perhaps there was a lot of anxiety. But this wasn't David's plan to go and deal with this. He was following his father's instructions, and most likely he had every intention of returning home. David comes to the camp, and we see a very different response than what has been typical of Saul and his soldiers. And in contrast to Saul's fear, we see David's faith. And the first thing we see about David's faith is he had faith because he was obedient. And just as disobedience can bring fear, so obedience can bring faith or confidence. Look at verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." When Eliab accused David of coming to the battle just to see what was going on, David doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Why? He was simply obeying his father. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. He was exactly where he was supposed to be. He was doing what he was told. He was obedient to his authority, and as a result, he was under God's protective hand. Verse 24, back up there in verse 24, we see again, "All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, saw Goliath, fled from him and were sore afraid." And when we see all the men of Israel and the king shaking in their boots, where do we see David? Back in verse 28, we see David coming to the camp. He stands confidently. Look at verse 26. I know we're jumping around a little bit, but look at verse 26. "David spake to the men that stood by him." By the way, these men that are shaking, he says to these men, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Why is this going on? David had faith because he was obedient. David had faith because he was trusting in the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 10 says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Isaiah 26:3, most of us know that verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. You see, David saw this battle from a completely different perspective. This wasn't an attack just on his family and friends. It was an attack on God. It was an attack on the people of God. When Eliab accuses him in verse 28, David responds by saying, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? In other words, God's name is being dragged through the mud. God's people are being attacked. Is there not a reason to defeat this ungodly Philistine and put him out of our misery for good? He's defying God. He even says that down here in verse 10. I defy the armies of Israel. He was defying God. David says, is there not a cause? Verses 32 to 37, David appears before Saul. He says in verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I'll go. David's like, why isn't somebody gone? I'll go. This young man, I don't know, he may have been 17, 18 years, I don't know. He says, I'll go. Why? Because he was looking at the battle from a completely different perspective. Saul makes a comparison and he says, David, you can't go. Look at how big that guy is. There's no way you can defeat him. He says, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. But David's not going in his own strength. Look at verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And so David says, I'm not going in my own strength. Said, the same Lord that delivered me back when I was protecting the sheep is the same Lord that's going to go with me to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. Saul consented. He said, okay, then go. Saul again tries to give David this is when he tries to give David his armor. He said, here, David, take my armor. He says, I can't take this. I haven't proved these. I haven't been even used these once. I can't. I'm going to trip up. I'm going to fall in front of him. And so David went to confront Goliath. And all he received was mocking from the giant. But again, that didn't faze David. Because his trust was not in his size. His trust was not in his skill or in his strength. Look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David said, this isn't my battle. This is God's battle. David was trusting in the Lord. The third thing here we see is David had faith because he was prepared for battle. He was prepared. Look at verse 48 to 51. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, for there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David had sharpened his skills that he had. He'd used the abilities God had given to him, and God was able to use those abilities, and God was able to use him to deliver Israel and to defeat Goliath and the Philistines. But the most important preparation that David made was his walk with God. He was prepared for this battle. As he sat on the hillsides of Bethlehem tending his father's sheep, David learned to communicate with God. He learned to talk with God and listen and hear God's voice. He saw the hand of God in creation around him. He saw the protection of God in times of trouble. That relationship with God caused him to write Psalms like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That didn't come to David just in some moment of emotion. Those things came to David as he communicated with God, as he got to know God out there on the hillsides, as he got to see God working. David was prepared because he had that relationship with God. And you know what? Every one of us will face battles. There are going to be physical battles. There are going to be spiritual battles, emotional, mental, physical, financial battles. And the only way that we will be prepared for those battles is to have an active walk with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Let me read that for you. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8. It says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You see, Hezekiah said, we can't trust in our flesh, but with us is the Lord. Hezekiah had a right relationship with the Lord, so did David. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will be with us, but we've got to be walking with him. Having God on our side will be the difference between fear and faith. You see, Saul was fearful because God wasn't with him. He wasn't on God's side. But David had faith because he trusted in the Lord, and he was on God's side. And David saw the battle through God's eyes. He knew that he could defeat that giant because it wasn't his battle. It was God's battle. And that giant had defied the living God. David was just an instrument. God was going out to fight the battle. He used David. Now maybe you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit's working in your heart about your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're fearful about where you'll spend eternity because you don't have Christ as your Savior. You need to make that choice today to receive Christ so that you don't have to live any longer in fear of death and eternal torment. I was talking to somebody just the other day. Somebody came and asked me some questions. It was a joy to be able to sit down with them and talk to them. But they said, why are pastors getting up and preaching that you can't be eternally secure? She says, I've been hearing this all my life, and pastors that tell me that you aren't once saved, always saved. So I was able to take and show her from the Bible how the Bible shows that it's once for all. And we don't have to be fearful about, well, what if I sin? He's going to cast me out. No, he's not. We trust him as our Savior. He keeps us forever. The Bible tells us that. We don't have to live our lives in fear. Are there any reasons to fear today? All around us. Read an article a while back about a pastor. It says, I'm not going to live my life in fear. I'm not going to live my life fretting. There's all kinds of reasons to fret. The economy, our government, everything. There's all kinds of reasons to fret. But we don't have to because we know who's in control. We know whose battle it is. We have confidence in our God because he is on our side. and we can walk with him. So if you don't know him this morning, please make that choice today to receive him as your Savior. And you too can live your life trusting in Christ and look forward to spending eternity with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of David. Father, we know that he was a man just like us. The accounts in the Bible show us that. But Father, he was a young man of faith here in this passage, and it was a testimony that is a great example to us. Father, we're going to face giants, and you know all about it. And I believe you bring those things into our path to strengthen us and strengthen our faith in you. Father, please help us to grow closer to you. Help us to walk closer to you. Help us to spend the time we need to daily in your word and in prayer, getting to know you like David did, so that our heart overflows with praise and with worship and with communication with you, pouring out our hearts daily to you. Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know you as Savior and they live in fear because they don't know where they're going to spend eternity, Father, please help them to make that choice today. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.